our planet is a lonely speck in the great cosmic dark.
Hi, this is Chrissy.
And I'm Marie.
And you're listening to Alt Pop Repeat,
a show where we get into the nitty gritty around counterculture, alternative culture, and sync it up with what?
With pop culture.
Yeah, man. That's what we do.
There we go.
High five.
Welcome back, friends.
Where did we go, Chrissy?
What?
We just
welcome back.
From what?
What?
Hey.
What? I'm saying welcome back. I know, but I'm telling them welcome back. Not you. I'm telling them.
Like, where did I go, Chrissy? I've been sitting here the entire time.
It's like such a dad joke. Such a dad joke. Such a dad joke.
I can't help it. This is such a weird day.
It is.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what's happening. It definitely is not. Is it Mercury retrograde?
That's right. Is it Mercury retrograde?
I'm looking it up. There's a website. Is it Mercury?
What is the moon in right now? Let's know that. So we should segue, since we're talking about this. Our episode today is about astrology.
It is.
Yeah.
And also, for the record, the website is mercuryinretrograde.com. Says no.
It's not.
No.
Okay.
Something else must be bumming you out.
Interesting. Well, I would say we're not bummed out. It's just a very interesting day.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, that's, yeah, we're talking about astrology today.
Yeah. And our guest that we have on the show is Dr. Jennifer Fried.
PhD.
PhD.
Author of best-selling book,
Use Your Planets Wisely. She's penned 10 different books. And she also has been part of the, been interviewed by the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, US Today, and Vogue.
In other words, she's what? A big deal.
Right. Honestly.
She is a big deal.
Yeah. And she's part of Goop. She's the in-house astrologer at Goop, which is amazing. Honestly. I really like Goop, personally. I like it. I think it's fun. People think it's controversial at times, but I'm all in for the Goopness. I like getting goopy.
I don't even think I really visited the website ever, to be honest.
It's fun. I just like the stories that come out that they have when they talk about, well, A, the controversial stuff is about, you know, having a candle that was apparently that smelled like Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina, which is, I don't think that's true. But that's the fun controversy, though. There's but I also think Goop does that for a reason, because they want to get people talking, which I think is really, really smart.
And it was a really great conversation. Jennifer Fried was really knowledgeable because she's a psychological astrologer.
She is.
So she was able to talk about astrology from a different perspective that wasn't so much as new age as it was how it has benefited her in her practice and how she's been able to use it to help people. She's also the author of a book called Use Your Planets Wisely, which is a bestseller. And I am pretty pumped to read it. I have gotten it on my Kindle.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped to see this. But she's a really interesting character, and I appreciate her taking the time to chat with us, because astrology is a really big topic and kind of controversial.
It's extremely controversial. It also has amazing history roots, too. Mm. That's the other thing. A lot of people, did you know where astrology really started?
Well,
I didn't until I started to deep dive down this. I like astrology, but I didn't really know the full roots of it until I knew that we were going to do the show. So then I deep dived. I found this clip about Dr. Jennifer Fried from the Goop podcast. So let's roll into it. And in the end, we'll sync it up. And how astrology is connected to pop culture.
I think we're all here in a big learning museum, and our job, in my opinion, is to just keep challenging ourselves to be the most impactful we can be to ourselves and others in a positive way. My journey began really when I was quite young. I was raised by two incredibly scholarly New York Jews, totally cynical, completely not interested in anything alternative. But I was just fascinated with astrology from a young age.
And when I was 18, a friend of mine gave me as a present a reading with this remarkable woman, an astrology reading. And I was already interested in psychology. And I had this reading and it blew my mind because I felt so completely understood in a way no one ever had, or even my own self-awareness. And that began my journey in earnest. And both psychology and astrology have been parallel paths for me because I got my PhD in psychology over all those years, but I also studied astrology and taught astrology all those years. And the combination has been so useful. There is no personality system that's older and more credible, in my opinion, than astrology. It's been part of every culture, indigenous and otherwise, for all of history. And then psychology is a great training in primarily how to relate and understand people. But then I also 20 years ago started a path creating a nonprofit with my partner called AHA, which focused on social and emotional development for teenagers and teachers and parents. And that is the study of how to have great relationships. So the three things have really converged for me in the practice of astrology being a useful lens into understand ourselves, but how to connect with other people. And then my training allows me to coach people in the skills of relationship.
So then how over time we've been seeing this evolvement of people loving astrology and starting to connect to it. Why do you think people look to the stars for meaning? You know, now probably more than ever.
I think desperation creates an incredible longing for meaning. And I think over the last, what I've seen 20 years, is people's sense of disconnection is more heightened than ever, especially as we're more connected digitally, but more lonelier than ever. All the statistics are clear. So I think when people are feeling emptiness and they've even had a modicum of success and material happiness, they realize how empty all of that is without a sense of connection to the divine of their own knowing and some kind of meaning system that gives them purpose. So astrology is the best way to enter into a sense of meaning and connection without all the isms. It's the only symbol system I know that's not racist, sexist, homophobic. It just doesn't, it's never had any of those distinctions about hierarchy.
Then I would say then, right, no, and that makes 100% sense. Do you say then like spirituality, you know, a lot of people are coining that astrology is now become a new form of spirituality or religion. Do you think that that's where it's evolving towards? Because I would say the beginning of astrology, obviously when it was first practiced, wasn't a religion, and maybe I'm wrong in that, or wasn't a form of connection to spirituality. It was more of an art form and a science back then. But why are people, do you think, considering it more of spirituality and religion now to them?
Well, interestingly, for thousands of years, it was a spiritual practice and a religion.
Okay.
It's only been in modern time that it became even a science, if you will. It's not a very rigorous science, but an oracular art. But back when it was first, I don't even say created, because it was experienced, you have to remember all our ancestors lived in a time for thousands of years without any lights, without any electricity. So for them, the luminaries, the planets, the constellations were gods and goddesses. And before men took over the churches and made themselves points of power, people had direct experience of the divine through the planets that were considered gods and goddesses. So I feel like this is actually more of a return to our ancestors, who understood that they were part of an animated universe. They didn't see themselves as we did in modern times as the center of the universe. They understood themselves to be an ensouled participant of a divine orchestration. And now we're back to that place because we've made such a wreck of our material world.
What do you think is like the one of the most like popular things that people are, I mean, there's how you use it and there's how the general public uses it.
Yeah, the general public's always basically about love, career, money. Those are always the questions. Love, career, money. Yeah. And health, if somebody's sick, like why, when, you know. But it's always love, career, money. Yeah.
So what other things can astrology teach us outside of love, career, money, and health?
Well, what I do in my consultations is really aim to help people discover their own connection to the divine instead of even through astrology. Mm-hmm. All of us have deep, soulful guides within us that if we're quiet enough or practice enough, we have great intuitive guidance. So yes, astrology is a portal, but ideally it's a way to get reconnected with your own authority of knowing and the choices that you can make so that you fulfill on your life's promise. So I think of fate and free will. Right. Free will is going towards or against your fate. And I think of fate in the most positive sense of everybody has these incredible potentials of creativity and contribution. And we are our own worst enemies. So I try to point people into undoing their patterns of obstruction and self-sabotage.
Amazing. So when you look at astrology, we have scientists who say discredit it and say that we shouldn't even look at it. We shouldn't be reading our sun signs and going to the newspapers and stuff like that. During the 80s, I believe they had a huge time where they were saying that this is not a science and people shouldn't be following it because they were driven towards it.
Yeah.
But that's funny because in the 80s, like, wasn't Reagan and...
Yes, yeah, everybody right, was
right, astrologers. Right, everybody was. Nice. It was so popular.
I don't really see it as a science. You know, I'm quite a romantic idealist and I study this stuff and it's incredibly hard to do charts accurately. You have to know math. You have to know a lot of hard things to study. But the truth is, I think of it more as a romance art, like poetry or love. You're interpreting symbols. And the symbolic nature of reality is not something that lends itself well to measure. So what I would say is to every cynic, and believe me, you know, I've worked with thousands of people, to every cynic, I would say, just have a good reading, then decide. It's kind of like to everybody that's never been in love and thinks love is stupid, just fall in love and then you'll see.
Right.
Right?
Right, no, it's 100%, yeah.
Yeah, so I never defend astrology, never. It's like, you don't need to be interested in this, Mr. or Mrs. Cynic. Just try it. I had one professor that told me when I said some things about his astrology chart, he goes, I hate astrology because it's too true and I don't know why.
That's great.
And I think it threatens people to not understand why this stuff is so accurate and powerful. And I personally don't know why. I'll be the first to tell you, this is my profession, and I have no understanding of how it really is this profoundly accurate. And I talk to people all over the world on a weekly basis, and to a person, they're blown away. So I don't get that. I don't know why. I've studied it. I do the art form. It's like learning Persian. I've had to study for years and years and I never stopped studying. But it doesn't mean it's the truth.
Yeah. It's interesting and it's true. Like, why does it work? Why is it? Why do the positions of the planets and the stars on the date and the time that we're born can have such a profound impact on our personalities? Or our personality is somehow a reflection of what all those...
Like how I think it's like the idea, as above, so below. There's these cosmic cycles. We're part of them. But honestly, I had a friend named Lionel Corbett say that every theory is a defense against the unknown. And I believe that it's patriarchy consistently that wants to deny the validity of astrology because it can't be proven, it can't be appropriated, can't be owned. You know, it's for the people, of the people, and of the heavens. It's a free art in a sense of you can learn it, I can learn it. No one owns it.
Do you think that the art form part of it is when you're doing a reading with somebody and looking at their chart and then doing the interpretation? So is that really the crucial part, I would say, then? Not just reading the chart is important, but it's how each person interprets and how the astrologer interprets to somebody else. What is that there? What is that? Is that the intuition? What would you call that part of the interpretation? Is it channeling?
That's a great question, Chrissy. And I do train people in this. So I think I now see a lot of, you know, who becomes great at this. Two things, no shortcuts. People have to study the body of knowledge. And a lot of people out there are total quacks and they have no idea what they're talking about because they haven't studied it. They're basing it all on intuition and pretending that they know astrology. Astrology as a body of knowledge is like going to get your PhD. It's extraordinarily rigorous and time consuming to study it. So that's number one. Then when you have the knowledge, then you have to get your ego out of the way. And I think that's another huge deficit of most astrologers. They want to center the locus of control and power on them. Like, I know you, you don't. That's a horrible way to disempower people. So the second thing is know the body of knowledge and then be at the service of that person's own awakening, not in their dependency on you. Does this make sense?
That does make sense.
So the symbols and the interpretation are about thinking it through their point of view, not your point of view.
As somebody who is on the outside, not an astrologer, if I was looking to go get a reading, how would I know, or is there anything that I can look for to make sure that the person that I'm seeing might be the one that is a bit more skilled than another?
Yes. Do not look at the testimonials, because we all know you can get anybody to write your testimonial. Do look at their background. Where did they study? Who are their mentors? What's their actual credential in this? And so just do some due diligence and even email them and say, who did you study with? How long have you been studying? You know, what's your particular idea about working with clients? Like, what do you think is the most important value you offer? You know, just get more curious. Like, you'd never go to a doctor that just somebody told you, hey, I heard this doctor was really good and you should check it out. You know, think of it like that. This is the doctor of your soul.
Is there different schools of thought when it comes down to astrology from Eastern astrology, so South Asian approach to it?
Completely. So again, there's two different brands of astrology that have come from two worldviews. One is called Vedic, from India and Asia, and you know, one is Western astrology. Vedic astrology, so again, be very cautious about this, is born out of a culture that is a caste system. There's not really any choice or will. It's all very fate restricted basis. In Vedic, you're chosen as an astrologer before you're born based on your birth time. And you're raised from the moment you were born as an astrologer. And that's a very high and noble position. And it's really seen as a karma. So do not, in general, go to Americans who call themselves Vedic astrologers.
Do not
do that. Go to Indians, go to India, find out. Then Western astrologers, that's my brand. And I'm in even a subset, psychological astrology, and that's a very small subset. Make sure if anyone calls themselves that, they're actually trained as a psychologist or therapist. They're not just saying they do that. But Western astrology emanates from a worldview of choice and freedom. We all get to decide to some degree where we land in society. So this astrology is based on, here's your set of patterns and possibilities. You get to decide at what level you achieve this. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, so that's good questions. I love you two gals.
So we're trying to like, try to learn. And obviously, we love talking about the pop culture connections to everything. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's a treat to be able to sit down with somebody who's such a devoted expert on the field and also has that, you know, psychological background as well as the astrological background. So it kind of makes this really interesting.
And I love pop culture. So I also love that you're combining both. And of course I can't name them, but I have a lot of astrology clients. I'm not the type that's going to kiss and tell.
No, you shouldn't. That's okay.
Celebrity clients. But I think, you know, again, it's become so much more important to people that are in a big public view to have some sense of divine timing and how to upgrade and upscale their particular talents and strengths.
Yeah. What do you say about the tests that have been done? There's so many scientific tests that have been done. Like Carl Jung wrote a whole book around astrology and proving that, and it blew his mind. What do you say to, you know, we're not really doing those tests anymore that I know of, and maybe I'm wrong. You know, is there a reason why we're not doing them? And is there a reason why we're not talking about Carl Jung's tests and how his evidence around astrology is pretty strong?
Well, he didn't really do tests or evidence like that. He worked a lot with his clients and did their charts, and his daughter did too. And there are people that are doing rigorous studies of astrology, and you should Google that. Again, that's not my particular interest. I love that people are doing it. But I think what you are pointing to is we have a lot of evidence that the greatest minds in history worked with astrology, including Carl Jung. He really looked at his patients' charts to understand them. He used astrology to talk about synchronicity. Mm-hmm. So did many great minds and people that have had great influence on our culture.
Yeah, and I think that there should be more of those conversations, that we have some wonderful thinkers from all over different history periods that used astrology and considered it a science in their form or an art and something that they would look at when they were doing tests or looking at humanity and having conversations. I think we need to bring those things back to the forefront and talk about them a little bit more rather than bury them, because it's a really strong case for astrology overall.
Yeah, I think when you find people that have incredible imagination and they also are the pioneers or visionaries of society, you'll often find a correlation with people that study the cosmos. That's just true. And I think that anyone that's tethered in the understanding that they are a spiritual human in a flesh carnal body usually is doing more for the collective than people that are only focused on their material reality. So
that makes sense.
Would you say really, who helps get astrology on everybody's radars? Is there any major figures? Because I know amongst occultists, like Aleister Crowley had,
right.
I will also say I'm not a huge fan of Aleister. I recognize I'm always surprised. I'm like, he seems like he was not a great guy, but everyone seems to be really into him and his tarot decks and everything. I was like, I don't know how I feel, but regardless. But who are some major figures that, I was like, I'm a controversial person. I'm not a big fan of Aleister Crowley, but cool. But who are some major figures that help push astrology into the public, the mainstream?
Well, you know, again, I come from a very rarefied field, but I can tell you the people that have been my heroes and heroines come from the British school of astrology, Liz Green, Howard Sesportis, Carolyn Casey is another person from the USA that's profound and has had a big influence. It's basically people that have published and made some real inroads in making astrology more accessible to the lay person. I think Stephen Forrest is another one. And as I said, Rick Tarnas and that whole school. And I believe that your generation, because you're younger, got really hip to astrology through the internet. I mean, you know, we've always had the newspaper and what's your star sign. But I think what happened once we had this enormous unleashing of democracy of knowledge through the internet, that people easily started conversing around the topic of astrology. So there's been these great thinkers and writers that have set the ground. And if you go on Amazon, just click on astrology and what's the most popular books, you'll find all those authors. But it's really the apps that made it go nuts in my lifetime. Because, you know, when I started studying this, first of all, I'm queer. Second of all, I'm in psychology. Third of all, you know, astrology. The bottom line is people thought I was nuts. Like I, my friends would just go, what are you talking about? I was just so on the vanguard, as Aquarians often are.
That's right. Amen to that.
You know, I was so ahead of my time. People just were, what? And it's so vindicating for me, because now I'm like, see, you know, everybody's into astrology. There's no one that doesn't talk this language anymore. No one. And that's because of the internet and the saturation and the apps and the digital availability of quick and easy access to the astrological canon of information and knowledge.
For sure. And I mean, like, even in every magazine that I had when I was growing up, always had the horoscope discussion at the end. There was a magazine I used to read called Sassy, and they taught about numerology and compatibility between the signs and all these like little things that help put that whole world and the possibility of it on my spectrum. And then I remember when I first had access to the internet, one of the first things I looked up was like astrology, like horoscopes.
Wait, one more thing I want to say cynically, here it is for the Taurus rising. The other reason astrology became so popular is people saw boom, boom, money in it.
Yeah.
And it was quick money for them too. Yeah, that makes sense.
People see, oh, just like the psychic hotline, now we can peddle astrology as, you know, something to make money and currency with. Then we got a lot of, you know, quiet and sometimes out loud investors behind the whole scheme.
Yeah, because there's some major, major websites out there right now that are all based around
millions of dollars being poured into them because they see that people want this service and they need meaning and they can think of a quick way to turn over some moolah.
First, we have to talk about, so people understand the different types of astrology, and also what is astrology. So astrology is based on 12 zodiac signs.
Right. Can you name them?
Off by heart?
I think I can do it.
Okay, well, I will, you can finish. Okay. Aquarius, because that's what I am. Aries, Capricorn, Virgo, Libra, Gemini, Sagittarius, hold on, Cancer. What are the ones I'm missing, Marie?
Pisces.
Yes, that's the age of Jesus.
Did you say Aries?
I did say Aries, yeah.
Did you say Gemini?
I did say Gemini.
Taurus.
Yep. Two more.
Scorpio, Sagittarius.
We didn't say Scorpio.
Oh, we didn't say Scorpio?
We didn't say Scorpio.
So
then
that's
what's 11. The last one?
July.
I just don't think we were July. It's not a sign.
What's July's July? Who people are born in
right.
July?
So we have Leo.
Oh, I forgot Leo.
Sorry, Leo.
Handsome Leo.
We love you,
I didn't Leo. Get to April because I was trying to go month by month. I didn't get to August.
We've talked about the 12 signs. Then we should talk a little bit about what is a birth chart. So we also call it a natal chart. And then what is a sun sign? What is a moon sign? What is a rising sign? And then we can talk about what Mercury retrograde is and what is a full moon. Because those are terminologies that people use in astrology that aren't really ever talked about or really ever explained. I know I didn't even know what the heck it meant until I went and got my natal chart done. And then I went, oh, I have a moon sign and a rising sign? I just thought I had a sun sign or just a sign in general. I didn't realize there was so much other stuff around it.
There's so much stuff, and that's really just scratching the surface, obviously, right?
So a sun sign is the position of your sun at birth, and it's supposed to be your identity. That's what they say. So I connect to that. I connect to being an Aquarius, and I look at, yeah, I'd say that's pretty close to what I would relate to what my identity would be. 100%. So like the futuristic and the sci-fi stuff and things like that. Those are very, very traits that are connected to an Aquarius thinker or Aquarius person. So yeah, I would say my identity is pretty close to my sun sign.
I mean, there's certain qualities and there's some that apply and then there's a lot that doesn't. So I never really felt deeply and profoundly connected with my sun sign because there's so many things about it that I just didn't agree with. Whereas like, oh, you're neat and tidy. I'm like, well, unfortunately, that piece of who I am kind of got, or that I'm very like exacting. I am a perfectionist in some degrees, but in a lot of ways I'm not. I'm a very chill person where like, let's let things go. I've met Virgos that are like A-type Virgos, for sure. They're like true to their sun sign through and through.
Right.
But I'm definitely I'm definitely a good combination of my inner and outer. So for me, I look at sun being the outer part of me. That's what the other people will see. So I'm sure there's a lot of people who would describe me and they would say that I am always look good. Like I'm always there's a polish about it. I'm very like feminine and I have divine feminine is Virgo. She is the female in the chart. She is the classic trope of womanhood. And then I also have my moon side, which is my inner self.
Well, let's explain what a moon sign is, though, to them first, because people won't know what a moon sign is. So a moon sign is the position of the moon at your birth, and it's supposed to reflect your emotions, your fears, your longiness, and your obsessions.
Yeah. Well, it's inner self, outer self.
Yeah.
That's like I always think of it. Inner self is just kind of like who I am. But I find like, if the person is going to try and derail the conversation with something random, I'll be that girl. That's my Gemini.
that's the Gemini coming out. But isn't a Gemini supposed to be two sides?
I am two sides, though. I have two sides.
Yeah, but you're not like Jekyll and Hyde. Like, no. I wouldn't say that, but that's the way that people would describe Geminis. That's very much that side. It's like a Jekyll and Hyde. They always show the two-sided face of a Gemini.
Wow.
Well, I wouldn't call you Jekyll.
My Virgo side keeps the bodies in the basement very tightly under wraps.
Apparently. Jeez.
So.
And then we have a rising sign. So your rising sign is the sign, the sun where it was rising and setting at the time of your birth. And then it's supposed to describe your social personality. See, I don't think I connect to this. So my moon sign is a Sagittarius. I don't know anything about Sagittarius, to be honest. I know that they're freedom people and they're freedom fighters. And I connect to that 100%. I don't really
know.
Pardon?
You're the archer.
There you go. But I don't know enough about Sagittarius. I know enough about Aquarians because that's my sun sign and I follow it more. But when I looked at the Sagittarius side, I went, oh, but they're freedom people. And that's very much who I am, an emotional based and stuff like that. So that makes sense. But when I look at my rising sign, I'm a Taurus. And I get that, but I don't think that's who I am socially. I'm not a social bull.
Think of it more as like spontaneity. Like, what is your spontaneous reaction?
Well, maybe
to something?
That's right. And maybe that's my fault because I don't know enough about Taurus either. I only really understand anything about Aquarians. That's it. It is my favorite sign, too. And a lot of my friends are Aquarians.
Taurus is a classic stubborn. Tauruses are great. I love Tauruses. Heartfelt.
That's nice.
Very loyal. They're headstrong.
Oh, yeah.
Stubborn.
I know that I can be stubborn and headstrong, too. 100%.
If there is something that really puts you in a corner and it's like, hey, like this is happening. I don't know. It's coming at you fast and you have to react really quickly. You have to make a choice really quickly. Are you going to be stubborn about what your position is, or in that moment, are you going to be flexible and look it up for your options? I would say that you're going to go, this is what I know. This is what I'm going to do. This is how it's going to be. So
yeah, I'm actually, when I make a decision, I stick with it. I'm very much so. I can see a Taurus being that way, but when I make a decision, I don't really second guess myself. I just kind of go with what I know and what I think. And some people might think that's bad, but no. I really go with gut intuition and also what I obviously know is education that I have around me as well too. But yeah. I don't. Yeah, I don't say personally in my social life, I'm way more of an Aquarian socially than I would be a Taurus.
And yeah. I mean, like there's so many, obviously, whenever you're looking at a natal chart, there's so many other pieces. You're taking a look at all of the planets and their exact position and the exact moment that you were born.
Right.
And your location in the world, the time and yeah. the day and the year, obviously all play into this. And on top of it all, it's not just those. Like you have all the planets and then you have all the different stars and things that pass through. So there's all sorts of like little other pieces in, like I mentioned Chiron, the wounded healer. And I think it's the wounded healer. He's the wounded something. And
well, explain that, because what is the...
I'm going to have to look that one up, because like he, what it represents is he pops through in charts on occasion. It's not like not always there. It comes in and comes out. And oh, the wounded healer, I got it right. And affects all aspects of wellness. So it's your physical health, your mental health, your emotions, spirituality. So Chiron was first discovered in 1977, orbiting the sun between Saturn and Uranus. So it was originally classified as an asteroid. So when Chiron enters into the chart, like enters into our lives in astrology, then we take a look at either its effects on our healing, mental and spiritual and physical,
right,
or not. But he's like he's the wounded healer. So sometimes it's like he's going through, and because of the positioning of the planets at the time, you're just like, oh, you know, I'm gonna be going through some emotional turmoil right now, and I'm not going to be able to get through it because where maybe Mercury is also in retrograde.
Right.
So you're looking at the combination of things that are there. But I mean, it takes, because of all these like nuanced elements, it takes someone so long to become an astrologer, like so long.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of education, like even talking to Jennifer as well. She has education being a psychologist, but then she also has education about being an astrologer. Those are two very long processes of getting education on both ends.
I would argue and that one is astrology is longer.
I would agree. And so maybe then we should talk a little bit. We'll finish off explaining what Mercury retrograde means, and then we can talk about what a heck a full moon is, and then we can get into maybe a little bit of history.
Mercury is my baby.
So here's the misconception. So a lot of people think that Mercury retrograde, the planets are moving backwards, but it's not. It's a full-on optical illusion. We're not actually moving backwards. The planets aren't moving backwards. It just looks like they are. But then the attachment to the astrology side says that it's bad for communication. Don't do your finances then. You know, don't sign a deal or do any, you know, don't buy a house. Don't do anything that would be, you know, a communications thing or a legal thing or
if
stuff like that.
It requires you to speak.
That's scary.
Then don't. Just avoid it altogether, right, during Mercury retrograde.
Because it's not a good time to do those things. And so do you know why we consider that in astrology, that Mercury retrograde is connected with communication?
Because Mercury being Virgo's planet is the planet of communication.
So then if it's going backwards, then that means that it's going to be, people are going to be backwards speaking.
Maybe that's, we're going to sound like when you play
right.
a Beatles record backwards.
Right.
And there's all the secret messages in it.
Right.
That's basically.
I buried Paul. Right.
Is that what they say?
There's one in it. I believe it's Sergeant Pepper's. I think that's it. Anyway, at the end of it, it says, it doesn't say it backwards, but it does have a little at the end of it. It says, I buried Paul, because apparently Paul was that there was like a double at one time. Yeah, I know. I didn't know that until this year, actually. I'm a Beatles fan, and I didn't know that. Someone sent it over to me, and I went, I did not know that.
All the creepy things. But right, I mean, like Missy Elliott, she threw her thing down, flipped it, and reversed it, and then actually reversed that line.
Well, I was going to explain then what a full moon is now. Well, we all know a moon, Marisa. That's when you pull down your pants. This is when you get a full moon.
Chrissy, take this seriously, please. A full moon is a part of the lunar cycle. There's 28 days in a lunar cycle. It begins with a new moon, so that's symbolic of birth and renewal and opportunities. And the full moon is the end of the lunar cycle, which signifies the end, things coming to closure, a good time to like purge and do ceremonies around like getting the bad vibes off your shoulders.
So in history, right. And so in history, they would say that a full moon comes once a month, generally. Yeah. But then they would say that it was connected to things that were bad, like vampires, I believe,
yeah,
and werewolves. But it is true, though. They have documented it and said
werewolves are true.
Well, no. Let me finish. They have documented and said that when there is a full moon, that apparently people go a little.
Yeah, Piero Lunaire, if you go back to Harlequin, Commedia dell'arte.
Nice.
In Italy, obviously going Renaissance period. Yep. And so one of the characters is Piero Lunaire. Piero Lunaire, everybody knows this character, even if you don't. White face, little black teardrops underneath his eyes, white clown costume, white and black clown costume. I didn't realize it. I actually went as Piero Lunaire one year for Halloween because my mother is very cultured.
Well done, mom.
Yeah, I had no idea. I thought
such
it was
a great reference.
I was a clown, but it was when I was older. I was like, oh, I went as a comedian. Anyway, doesn't matter. Irrelevant. But Piero Lunaire also was a song cycle that was written because it talked about the lunacy based on loon, right?
Yeah.
I often think that so Piero Lunaire obviously is kind of this crazy little character in the Commedia dell'arte, and it's because he's like touched by the moon. But I feel like moon and the moon cycles often get a bad rep because moon is often related to female historically. So if we're going back to the roots of astrology, again, my personal opinion about it because I have an opinion about everything. But if we're going back to the roots of astrology, we're going back to ancient Mesopotamia.
Yeah, Mesopotamia and Babylonian.
Right?
Yeah.
And how was used scientifically back then in order to be, that was their calendar. That was
Their life. Were the first ones to create the constellations.
Dude, they were the first one. They were the, astrology is life.
Well, they're the first people to create calendars. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So smart. Yeah.
And let's remind people though, that Mesopotamia was before Egypt. It was 2000 years before Egypt. And I believe it from now, this time it's 5,000 years from now, from our current date, which is unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. But I mean, they're also credited for inventing all sorts of magical, wonderful things. They had time. They had a unit of time measure that was based on
politics.
60. Yep. Politics. The wheel. Thank you.
Yeah.
Very helpful invention.
Yes.
The cart, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So they also created astrology and they used it as their calendar. So great, going back in time. But then since then, we've had astrology, and as time has gone on, it had evolved and turned into a way to assess people's personality. I'm not exactly sure when that happened. Do you know?
That when they decided to...
When the shift went from being calendar to being a chart for pseudoscience for personality.
Well, during the scientific method or revolution time, we would say, and that was like the 17th century, apparently that's when that switch happens. We used to follow astrology and everything else until the 17th century when we learned how to like, you know, calculate like that we had veins and things like that. And the blood pumped through them and tons of things like that. So once we got to that point where we went, let's look at science, and the earth is not the planets aren't revolving around the earth, because back then when they created the constellations and everything else, they thought the earth was the center of the world, but obviously it's not. So then when they realized, when Galileo then said, hey, that's not the case.
Galileo. coffee kettle, make the right. Okay, go on.
And then Queen created a song. And so Galileo then decided to say, hey, that's not the truth. And then when they decided that then we're the ones that we rotate around the sun and that the earth isn't the most center of the universe, then that's when we decided to say, hey, let's look at this differently. And then astrology was pushed to the side. I mean, so that was the 17th century when that
truthfully, we don't know how big the universe is. We could potentially be the center of it. I mean, we don't know how big it is.
Well, so here's the thing, though, when they say with constellations, that they don't even really exist anymore. Because before, when they would chart them, it was very circular that they would, obviously, the planets were revolving around the earth that they thought. So when they looked at the constellations, it was all very circular charted. And then after they realized now that we look in current time, the constellation was obviously made by man and named by man, but it doesn't really exist anymore because it's so vast now. And there's also now that we say that the constellations aren't even in the correct place anymore as well too. So that's the scientific side of it now. It doesn't mean that astrology doesn't give you any meaning in your life or anything like that.
We the planets move around the sun, right?
Correct.
We're free floating, and the only thing that keeps Earth on its orbit is the gravitational pull with the sun, right?
Right.
So if we're free floating, why wouldn't the continents had continental drift and shifted ever so slightly?
Well, they're not in the same place, but they're saying, and then there's also a 13th zodiac sign too now that they've decided to put in.
Why not?
I don't know. This is the evolution, though, that astrology has gone through. So when we look at the time that when they started doing it in Babylonian and Mesopotamian time, you know, very different now. Fast forward, 5,000 years later, people are still using it on their day to day. Like, people still check their horoscopes. Astrology is bigger than it's ever been.
I'm trying to remember what was my point on because I was wanting to know, when did we make the shift to it being a personality thing as opposed to it being a calendar thing?
Well, that was the 80s when they decided to shift, because that's when everybody would look at their sun signs. It was really popularized in the 80s. That astrology has been part of everything that we do, from all the way from Mesopotamia now to current day. And I was saying before, I think that as now it's stronger than ever, and that's our first sink would be the internet. Without having the internet, astrology wouldn't be so big that it is with millennials than it's ever been, because people now have a little bit more, they have ways to inform themselves. They can talk to different people. They can have more education around astrology. The more people are becoming astrologers, doesn't mean they're going to be good at it or not, but the internet's there. And maybe because we're living in a society that is so uncertain that astrology is something that they go to, or it's because it has meaning for them and it makes them feel it's meaningful to them.
Yeah. I agree with that. And it's also, it's a soft, it's like Jennifer said, it was a romantic art.
Astrology. It is. Yeah. Well, I would say it's more art than science for sure. And some people might say that too. A lot of people think Carl Jung was one of the first people to really ever look at astrology in a scientific or psychological way and apply it. He really loved astrology. And Carl Jung is one of the most foremost notable psychologists in the world.
Well, I mean, we all love astrology. There's something about it because we want to believe. We as humans just want to believe that we don't know everything. Like, some of us want to enjoy and dance in that space where the world is a mysterious, wonderful place and there's magical things that are lurking around every corner. And that is really like this. That's really one of the beautiful things about astrology. It reminds us in this funny little way that in a lot of ways, we don't have control over our own lives. And I think that for me, I find that very freeing.
Right. And then we look at other music has a big part in it as well, too. Music, we've noticed, has been a connection through a lot of countercultures. Obviously, it makes sense, especially during the 60s. But the fifth dimension, when they did The Age of Aquarius, that was a huge song. There were so many songs that would talk to you know, Libras getting along with these people and people doing this. Like, that's, Fifth Dimension talked a lot about astrology. And during the 80s and the 70s, astrology was really, really big. And that really came from the counterculture movement that was part of spirituality and that hippie movement, 100%. But then the 80s, whoa, there was phone lines. People were calling numbers so you could get your astrology. Yeah. Very different than we have now. But it was, that was the really the beginning of popularizing and really becoming mainstream was the 80s. And then we had, I think it was Linda Goodman did the first book called Sun Signs. And she is the book that I think it was on the New York Times. Yeah, it says here, the New York Times bestseller list. And it sold over 30 million copies. Like, that's freaking insane. A book about astrology, so, and that's the foremost guide. Out? It came out in
80s.
It might have been, yeah, I think it was 80s from when I read here. It was 1960s. Linda Goodman popularized astrology and wrote
totally
a book called Sun Signs.
Because if you have the hippies, we're really connecting with Eastern philosophies. So we learned also in a conversation with Jennifer is that in India, astrology is a major, major part of your day-to-day lives. Yep. And so if you're going there,
still talk about it on the news.
Oh yeah.
In some channels. Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I remember there was a channel in Canada called Vision Television. And I remember when I was younger, part of the day would play like Bollywood films and they would have the astrologer go on and go through and tell you your horoscope for every chart. And it was like a gentleman sitting in front of a green screen with the horoscope symbols behind him rotating around in a circle. And, but on top of it, so you have these hippies and they're connecting with Eastern philosophy. So I really think that that portion of hippie culture really helped to bring it and ensconce it in Western culture. They were cultural, they were seeking freedom. They were seeking understanding. They were seeking for spiritual connection as they're adopting like meditation and Eastern practices as a part of their daily lives, you know, increasing in cruelty-free diets like veganism, vegetarianism, meditation. And obviously astrology was a huge part of that culture. So yeah, I know in the 80s, that's when we started getting into the horoscopes or generalized sun sign horoscopes in the daily newspapers. But I really think the major shift that happened was the Western and the Eastern cultures colliding in the 60s that really helped to bring it as a part of our pop culture. Like if I had to pick a watershed moment, it would probably be that.
Yeah, I would say the 60s, I would say at least the 60s, 70s, and 80s. 80s really took it and, you know, during that yuppie era, really yuppied it up. They did. Well, the 80s were a yuppie time. Right. There was a yuppie time. So they yuppied it up and had people call in and you could do, phone calls around astrology and people would read your charts. So that's different. That is different than the foundation of astrology. It changed a lot. It evolved from being something that was part of somebody's everyday life and everything that they did and they believed it was common sense to them to something that was very popularized to make them believe something. It was almost kind of like that hocus pocus idea. So the meaning of astrology really changed.
This show is really in depth. It is so... Astrology is like such a big... It's a big topic.
There's a lot. We've only touched the surface of different types of astrology. We mainly talked about Western astrology, but there is a lot. So
Vedic astrology.
Yeah.
Chinese astrology.
Yeah.
So Eastern astrology, Western astrology. Well, there is
almost every civilization had astrology.
But then I also will say like pop astrology is probably the newest one because of its integration in our pop culture world.
Right.
It's people who are pulling out astrology and these like digestible bits for us to be able to apply in our day to day and this fun kind of.
Yeah. And we get people like Jennifer that we get to talk to and ask a little bit more that has a really wonderful understanding and a really educated understanding of what is astrology and what does astrology mean today.
So until we meet up next time and talk about our next big topic and sync it up, be sure to follow us on Instagram at altpoprepeat and check out our Patreon. You can go support us and support the show at altpoprepeat.com.
Yep.
And sign up for our newsletter if you're really into it. Maybe you'll get one.
And like and review on iTunes. Follow us on Spotify. Follow us anywhere on streaming platform.
So until then, this was great.
Bye-bye.